गुरुदेव, स्वामी जी और फेलो सिटीजन्स, ब्रदर्स एंड सिस्टर्स. यस, व्हेन स्वामी जी, व्हेन आई वॉक्ड इनटू दिस इंस्टीट्यूशन, आई फेल्ट आई'ड कम होम. दैट्स अ फीलिंग आई हैव ऑलवेज हैड व्हेनेवर आई विजिटेड द रामकृष्ण मिशन. इट समहाउ कॉल्स मी ऑल द टाइम. And whenever I've had an opportunity, I've always availed it. So Swamiji, if you call me more often, I will leave Anna Hazare movement and come to you. Because I know then you will go with me to Anna Hazare movement. Because I distinctly remember that if the Anna Hazare movement was full of monks, we would have had the Lokpal bill by now. Because you would have been so good and so kind that many of our leaders would have melted before you and would have given you what you were asking for. Since you mentioned Anaji, I have every time heard him remember Swamiji, Swami Vivekananda. Every speech that he mentioned and wherever he talked about himself, he remembered how Swami Vivekananda's book, which he came across at a railway station, transformed him. Every time he used to say that at a stage when he found his life without a meaning and he was not knowing what to do and he was thinking it's a useless life and he might as well end it, he came across Swami Vivekananda's book from a railway station platform, and it's reading that book, he said, he realized there was a meaning ahead, and since then he decided to give all of his life dedicated to social welfare and community development. So I'm so happy that he remembered always two. He remembered Swamiji and he remembered Sukhdev. He remembered those who, the famous freedom fighters. He always remembered, unko kabhi nahi bhulna, jo tyag karke humko is desh ki azadi de gaye. Main kabhi nahi dekha wo thake. Ye dono ko hamesha har speech mein, agar unhone 3 din bhi ek din speech ki di mere saamne, tino din unhone yehi bola. Aapko bhi yaad hoga Gurudev, har time wo yaad karte the aur phir unke aankhon mein aansu aa jate the ki kabhi inko mat bhulna, aise bolte the. ऐसे बोलते हैं उनको कभी मत भूलना जो हमें वो सारी आजादी दे गए. सो दिस इज आई थिंक यू रिमेंबरिंग अ मैन, लिंकिंग अ मैन विद हु गॉट एन इंस्पिरेशन फ्रॉम द ग्रेटेस्ट सेंट इंडिया प्रोड्यूस्ड. स्वामी जी, यू टॉक्ड अबाउट एजुकेशन. दिस इज समथिंग विच आई फाउंड मोस्ट इंस्पायरिंग बिसाइड्स ऑल अदर थिंग्स फ्रॉम Swami Vivekananda's words, and I want to read his words, what he talked about education, and I believe there are a lot of teachers sitting in this audience. This is what his words are. Rather than I saying it, let me give you his words as directly as possible. He said, what is education? Is it book learning? No. Is it diverse knowledge? Not even that. The training by which the current and expression of will are brought under control and become fruitful is called education. He said, education which does not help the common mass of people to equip themselves for the struggle for life, which does not bring out strength of character, a spirit of philanthropy, and the courage of a lion is worth the name. Real education is that which enables one to stand on his own legs. There's two more things which I thought I will share with you directly his words. Education is not the amount of information that is put into your brain and runs right. That's exactly what the children talked about, where they were talking about a theory where the little Swami Vivekananda, the little boy who really looked like Swamiji, beautifully, he mentioned exactly that. Education is not the amount of information that is put into your brain and runs right there. Undigested all your life, we must have life building, what Swamiji mentioned, man-making, character-making, assimilation of ideas. If you have assimilated 5 ideas and made them your life, and character, you have more education than any man who's got by heart a whole library. Then one more verse which I want to quote from him. He said, we want that education which character is formed. Strength of mind is increased. Intellect is expanded, and by which one can stand on one's own feet. This is what I picked up from my own personal library called the Clarion Call of Swamiji. I don't know how long this document has been, but I thought I would go back and look all for the educational quotes, because I thought there'll be a lot of students sitting here today. But I find parents and teachers more. So I'm so glad that this will be 1+2 or much more, because it will be homes and students through them. I have one more sharing of something which I loved, back to character building now. Since Swamiji talked about strength of character, spirit of philanthropy, and courage, I thought I'd share with you my three things which inspired me further to share with you. 10 actions that build a strong and lasting character. One, this is the quotes of theologian E.M. Bounds. He says, conduct is what we do. Character is what we are. Conduct is the outward life. Character is the life unseen, hidden within, yet evidenced by what is seen, evidenced by that which is seen. Conduct is external, seen from without. Character is internal, operating within. Character is the state of the heart. Conduct is its outward expression. Character is the root of its tree. Conduct is the fruit it bears. I remember when I was small, when I was a student in college, I never realized whatever I was doing, whatever I was experiencing, it was character building. I didn't realize that. It wasn't as clear as that. All I knew was that the right thing to do is the right thing to do. What results it has, I don't know. But this is the right thing to do right now. Each day, I was making an effort to do the right thing. And what is the right thing as a student to do? Is study, play, serve, obey your parents, be disciplined, listen to your teachers, and be honest, be sincere. All these things we were wondering, that this is the right thing to do as a student, not realizing that in the end, this becomes all of a character. And I recall distinctly what Swamiji also used to say, and Swamiji used to all talks about football. Football is so as more important than sitting inside a room and studying. As a tennis player on my student days, I hadn't read Swami Vivekananda as a student. I read him much later. But two things went all in two parallel streams in my life: sports ground or my classroom. And how two streams made me whole, because this is without the sports, policing would have never happened in my life. And without sports, sense of justice would have never happened in my life. Without sports, endurance wouldn't have happened in my life. Without sports, stamina wouldn't have happened in my life. And without sports, fighting spirit wouldn't have happened in my life. I played tennis because father played tennis, because that was the right thing to do, to play and to study. But how interesting one realizes that doing the right thing at the right time, at the right age, in the right way, how it finally shapes you into a character. It's said that when you're small, you make habits. When you're big, habits make you. Certain things in life do not happen till habits start making you. But the point is, when you're small, you never know you're actually making habits. And that bundle of habits finally becomes character. There's a very interesting story I came across, a story called The Marble Tiles. The Marble Tiles story goes like this. It's all about character building and questioning. And that is that there is a museum where there's a very beautiful marble statue, and it's white marble. There is obviously the floor of the same marble stone, which is also white. One day, when the museum is closed, the marbles started to talk to each other. The marble on the floor spoke to the marble in the statue and said, "Do you remember? We shared the same cave. We were brought out together by the same sculpture. We shared same space and we are the same." He says, the marble in the statue said, "Oh, you remember?" He says, "Of course I remember. We were brought also out of the truck together. But I'm very angry. I'm very disturbed." The stone, the marble, which was on the floor, said, "I'm very disturbed with you, which is a marble in the statue." He said, "Why are you so disturbed?" He says, "Because everybody comes and admires you. Everybody comes and admires you because you look so beautiful. You carved so beautifully. But everybody tramples on me and stands on me while we basically are the same." He said, the marble in the statue said, "Yes, but do you also remember? While you remember that we came from the same cave, we came from the same mountain, we came by the same truck, but do you also remember one thing?" He said, what do you want me to remember now?" He said, "Do you remember the designer? We had the same designer." He said, "Yes, yes. He was very cruel. He started to pick at me. He started to hit me. And he was so cruel." He said, "Yes. And what did you say?" He said, "I told him, get away. Leave me alone. I'm happy the way I am." So he says, "Do you remember? But the same designer came to me. And I told him, shape me well. I'm ready to give you any price for it. Hurt me enough so that I shape myself so well that when I stand up and erect, everybody comes and recognizes me." He said, "No amount of love, admiration, adoration comes without personal sacrifices." And that's the message of Swamiji for the youth today. And the message is, get out of comfort zone. In fact, I tweeted this morning for the message for the youth, that unless our youth gets out of comfort zone every day. And what was that comfort zone? I was getting out of the comfort zone playing tennis as a student. I wasn't going to a temple at 5. But I was going to a sports field at 5 in the morning. But praying while running, thinking that I'm doing the right thing because it's making my father and mother happy, that I'm working hard. But I was getting out of the comfort zone. It was 5 in the morning because the school was at 7. At 5 in the morning, cold night, but I had to play for my competitive sports. I was getting out of a comfort zone, jogging for 5 kilometers a day in the morning before going to school. It had its own benefits. While others slept and went to the school with eyes rubbing eyes and never played it competitively, well, they had their own rewards, I had my own rewards. The point is, unless today we get the youth every day out of the comfort zone, they will never ever give more back to society. Being academics is great, but unless out of the academics you get out of a comfort zone and put in that extra, you will never get that, become that sculpture, that stone where everybody looks up to admire you, saying, "Kahan se aaye? Itne sundar kaun sa patthar se aaye? Tumhe kisne banaya? Usi ne banaya jiski takleef tumne sehen karne ki koshish ki." I'll end up with one more recall, which I was 2 days ago with a group of Dutch corporates. I'd gone to reach out with them on a leadership conference. And one of the women who was sitting next to me said, "Do you know what's happening in America today?" I said, "What?" He says, "You as students may get score 100 out of 100 in your subjects. You go to MIT, you go to Harvard, you go to Yale, or you go to other law schools or other important schools. You have the highest academic grades. You will still not get the admission." I said, "Why?" He says, "Because they are now asking, what extra did you do other than education? Philanthropy, which Swamiji's mentioned, philanthropy, character building, courageous to be lions. They are testing you, what did you do other than getting these grades? So internships, community service, getting out of your comfort zone is now being recognized by these universities before they give you an admission." I start to wonder, why can't this happen to our schools? Why can't this happen to our colleges? This, if we really want to be the real, real Vivekanandas of tomorrow, if every youth in this country decides to reach out to the communities, particularly to the underprivileged sections, what Art of Living does in thousands of villages together, involving the youth, India will no more be illiterate. In 2 years' time, India will no more be illiterate, because the urban youth will go to the rural youth, urban girls will go to the rural girls, and men and women would be literate, will be educated, and maybe we could get to the next stage of vocational skills. India will no more be malnourished. Those women will be taken care of through philanthropy, through community service, through the energy which will go through the youth. All it needs is one policy, one national policy, that philanthropy, community service, giving time, but all volunteerism, in fact, it should be declared not only the Youth Day, we should declare the next 3-4 years of celebration as volunteering days, where the youth volunteer to give their own time and effort by getting out of the comfort zone. I have no doubt, because no education is just the head. Every education is the head, the heart, and the hands. If you really want the real education, it has to be the 3H, head, the heart, and the hands. All the 3H then will get instilled in every youth of this nation. India would be a different country, my friends, in next 3 years. I think that's the urge, that's the resolution, that's the spirit, that's the prayer we should make through this August body here, August gathering, that we want every youth of this country to be a Vivekananda of tomorrow. And Vivekananda of tomorrow cannot be without the head, the heart, and the hands. It cannot be Vivekananda of tomorrow without the volunteering spirit, without getting out of comfort zones. And I think if that happens, Swamiji, if that's the spirit, if that's your request to the government of India as a Ramakrishna Mission movement, please make volunteering for every youth mandatory. 12th standard onwards and the college, I think you will have created Vivekanandas of tomorrow, and that alone will secure the future of this country and give us thousands and thousands of Vivekanandas. This nation will produce, and the world will watch. Thank you very much, sir.